Yeah, Frank here has got his own billiard room.
Yes, it's what do you call it, Kramer?
Billiard room.
No, not billiard. Not the billiards. It was...
Billiards room.
Come on already. Come on. We call it the...
The place to be.
The place to be. Yes, the place to be.
Then I shall be there.
Now, it's time. Live and in living color.
The Grandy Man can.
Time to play the game!
Well, you always left me satisfied and smiling, so...
That's what she said!
Why do I want this? I want to make bank, bro. I want to get ass. I want to drive a Range Rover.
Place to be Nation! Scott Criscola and Justin Rosero. This is the Place to Be Podcast.
Very nice, Mr. Criscola.
Oh, I'm sorry, Daddy.
Fuck you, Daddy.
To do worse than Josh Richard.
No, I'm not the one I said he's true. You don't know if I got a gun. It's fun from the X side of things. But getting some of my rings. Everything I want I get. But I being it's mine. I shine like money that sound like Biggie. Fuck around my town. Boogie down my city. Come around, get pound. Do the crown, no pity. Watch the sound, full pound.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to another great episode of the one and only Place to Be Podcast. I am your co-host, Justin Rosero, emanating live from deep inside the PTB Man Cave. And joining me, as always, is... My PIC is a little hurt, and he's not quite 100% tonight, physically, but mentally, I know he'll give 125%, and that is my PIC, of course, Dr. Skull. Scott, how you doing?
JR, I never feel any pain when I'm on the air with
okay,
you.
I was going to say, because it seemed like you were in quite a bit of pain this weekend. So.
I was, and not as much now that I've medicated myself a little bit and what exactly I have, but no, I'm feeling great. Whenever I'm on the air, I feel no pain. It is always a pleasure to talk to you.
With that tease, we will tell the story in a little while. We have a special guest to join us to spin the yarn of Scott's physically devastating weekend.
Yes. However, it was a fun weekend.
Yes,
let's preface that we did have a lot of fun up until about midnight on Saturday, and then everybody else had fun, and I didn't. But anyway, we'll get to that later. Welcome everyone to episode 146 of the. Of the Place to Be podcast. And tonight, our special summer throwback night, we're not going to throw back too far back. We're going to throw back to about 48 hours ago.
Mm-hmm.
because I feel we both feel we really need to talk about what happened on Monday night with the 1,000th episode of Monday Night Raw, which emanated from the Scott Trade Center in St. Louis, Missouri. Obviously, it had a nice recipe of both nostalgia and current stuff. They didn't blow off all storylines, of course. We did have a WWE Championship match on the card and some other stuff as well. But, of course, we had some nice throwbacks as well. And then, you know, if we get time, we have a few little news and notes mm-hmm. pertaining to the show to get to, if we have time.
Yep.
Because, of
we
course.
We have your feedback as well.
Yes, we do have your feedback. We'll definitely try and get to that as mm-hmm. well. And, of course, tonight, continuing on, we are on our sixth first-round triple threat match. In the PTB first annual trivia tournament. Of course, Derek Cornette, Grant Owens, Jason Greenhouse, the underdog Dennis Nunez, and the guy who dressed like Mae Young's son on Monday night, Jeremy Nichols, is in the tournament quarterfinals. Who will join them? We shall find out tonight with our three participants in the next first round. But that's later.
Mm-hmm.
JR, let's go to St. Louis.
Yes, and it is episode 1000 of Raw. A lot of hype went into this, probably the most hyped up Raw of all time, I think, honestly. And it was really built like a WrestleMania, had a WrestleMania atmosphere. And as we'll see in the news later, many of the wrestlers backstage and agents and everyone else felt like it was a WrestleMania atmosphere back there as well. So
yes,
they did a good job building this up. I was pretty hyped. I was pretty excited for it.
I was too.
We started with a very good music video, I thought. Recapped many moments from the first 1,000 episodes of Raw. We had some sad moments, some happy moments, and some classic ones in general. So,
did any that pop up kind of jog your memory? Anything you might have forgotten about back through the first 9.99? That
I'm gonna be honest with you, I was finishing putting the baby to bed, so I was kind of like listening to it and in and out.
Oh, okay.
And then I settled in right as the opening segment began. So I can't say I was fully.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I mean, most of the moments. I mean, obviously, you and I know each other pretty well. I don't think there's any that we actually forget. There were a few that I did think of you. One of them was the Shatner Lawler moment from early 1995. I always think of you when I see Shatner. Obviously, one they didn't show. I thought they'd at least show a small clip of was when DX mocked the Nation. They didn't show that part, but that's one of my favorite moments of all time.
Maybe the Owen thing in that one.
They did not do the Owen.
No, I'm
they
saying
did...
maybe because of Owen. That's why.
Oh, maybe because of Owen. That's true. Yeah, that is true. Maybe because of Owen. They did do an Eddie piece. They did do a piece on the Eddie special. And, you know, a bunch of
other Smith
stuff.
Hart confirmed on Twitter during the show that the Owen wasn't allowed to be shown because of the lawsuit.
Ah, okay. Well, that makes sense. It's unfortunate. It sucks. Mm-hmm. But because Owen, of course, between 93 and 99, of course, had some actually more like early 94 to 99 had some great Raw moments. So it was unfortunate. But next question for you, JR. What do you think of the new signature?
You
missed the new signature.
Right,
yeah. Okay,
I came in right as the as Vince was coming out.
Okay, it's a new. Okay, for those that saw it, for those that did see it, what it is now is they show a wide shot of some WrestleMania. I think it's 24 because it looked like the Citrus Bowl, and they show all the fireworks, and then they have like flashbacks of different people, like they did, and then a white background, and then the WWE logo comes up, and it says "Then, Now, Forever." Is what the signature says.
And I'm glad that they took this chance to make some changes because it was much needed. Now, they didn't make anything too radical, any changes, but, you know, updating the signature, like you said, updating the graphic package, the Raw logo, the theme song, and the entrance, you know, the set. Not radically different, but, you know, minor differences, which was good to see.
Yeah.
I would have liked a complete overhaul, but I understand at this point, you know, this isn't like the mid-90s where they have the cheesy little video wall, and they have a lot of money invested in this you know, in the set and in all the equipment. So I understand that they can't just radically change everything. No. All the money they put into the HD wall and everything. So, but it was changed enough for my liking. I also like the new graphic packages that led to matches. I like the new look. It was a little bit sleeker and a little slicker. So I like that as well.
I do too. I like the new font for the letters. Very crisp. Looks great in HD. For those that may have missed or haven't had a chance to see it, the set, I mean, it looks like the big HD walls are like little, they're kind of like cut into, I don't know, strips or like slides or something like that. But for the most part, JR's right. The set's mostly not changed. But again, I mean, you're dealing with millions of dollars worth of HD equipment. They're not going to go too bonkers. But it still looked fresh, though. New music. And it'll be interesting when we see this coming Monday's Raw and we're back to a normal show, how the actual new stuff looks, you know, straight through. So, and then coming out to open the show is, of course, the man who made Raw, who created Raw, and that is, of course, Vincent Kennedy McMahon came out first. Why are you so grumpy? My God, it's your crowning moment.
I mean, it was fitting. I'm glad that they opened with him. It made sense. I liked he did the classic Monday Night Raw.
Yes.
And he did, of course, introduce D-Generation X, who, as we heard, would be opening the show. And Triple H and Shawn Michaels came out, and I know it shouldn't bother me, but Shawn's, the way he acts in DX is the most annoying fucking, I don't know when it became that he has to be mentally challenged when he's part of
That's
DX.
That's what I was about to say, the same thing, he acts like Eugene now, for
what
Christ
the hell? It's like, you know, he was like, DX, he was this, you know, body degenerate asshole, and now, I understand he can't be like that, but you have to be, Eugene, do you have to be like that? It makes no sense to me, I don't get it, I don't get why he has to act all stupid and dimwitted.
I mean, I know you're, you know, bored again. You don't want to get too sleazy. You save the, you know, the sleazy clips.
Just be normal. Just be Shawn Michaels.
Really, do you have to act like you got hit in the back of the head with a 2x4?
It was like the fucking Keystone Cop Three Stooges routine. Like, that's what it was. He's like, oh, here we go. I don't know. Straight out of the Matt Rosero comedy playbook. But it was like, it made no sense to me.
What, you're hoping Shawn's going to start talking like a pirate? He might have done that next.
He should have. Would have been better than the nonsense he was doing. So, but anyway, once they got on a roll, of course, Triple H says this isn't all of DX, that there were more of them at the time. Music hits, and we have the return of the New Age Outlaws and X-Pac for the first time in a long time.
Yes.
This is X-Pac's first appearance since, what, 02?
It'd be his first appearance since 02. Billy Gunn's first appearance since, what, late 04?
Yep.
Something like that, right? Mid to late 04. And then obviously Billy has been back on camera a couple times.
Road Dogg, you mean?
I mean, Road Dogg has been on a couple times since, but his first full time.
Right.
2000? Late 2000?
Yeah, end of 2000. So.
Yeah, end of 2000.
I find it funny that Billy Gunn's groveling back and hugging Triple H after all the shit he's talked about him.
Yeah, after bad mouthing him for what, 3 years in TNA. Yeah. But you know what? If Vince McMahon can forgive everybody, then Triple H has to start forgiving everybody.
No,
too.
It's fine. I mean, it, you know, it was good to see them all back. And honestly, I think they should try and keep him around. I think they could probably be a pretty good. If they made Triple H into a heel COO, they could have them as his backup again, circa 99.
So it could kind of be like Triple H could be Vince, and Billy and Road Dogg could be Briscoe.
Yeah, there you go. That'd be great.
And X-Pac could be Slaughter.
X-Pac, man, how baked was he? Jesus Christ. Oh. He's like, is he trying to ruin his chance? I guess he figures Triple H, he's always going to be fine. But he gets his big chance to come back, and he's still in good shape, and he's still young. He probably could get a job. And, you know, he shows up fucking high out of his mind. He's, like, crying, and fucking his eyes are all red, and, like, he was a mess.
That clip with Trish a little bit later on was visibly awkward. it was not his best effort. Let's be honest. I thought he was gonna Bronco bust him, but well, we'll talk with him about that. Anyway, they came out in the ring and they had their moment, and of course I thought it was
funny. Hunter was in his element here. I'll give that to him. He was pretty good here.
I enjoyed the little banter between Billy and Sean over who gets to do the and if you're not down with that in reality I love you Sean, but really it is Billy's because he did it when it was actually funny.
Billy was so blown up, it was hilarious. He could barely get that out.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. Yeah,
he was, like, it back.
Yeah, no, he needs to get back to the gym. I mean, he didn't look in horrible shape, but I'm sure it's the first time he's been, you know, in a ring in a couple of years. So it was great to see them. And then of course you're just waiting to see who the sacrificial lamb's gonna be, because there's got to be at least some sacrificial lamb, and it was your boy, Mr. Pink and Lavender himself, Damian Sandow, comes out.
Big spot for him, honestly.
Yeah, it is.
To come out here in the opening of the show and be involved with all of DX in their first reunion back in the ring in a long time. So it was cool to see him here, and I'm fine with him getting the shit kicked out of him. I mean, I think it's fine in this kind of setting. It was 4-on-1. Yeah. You know, and it was a good job. I thought they did this throughout the night. They used a lot of the veterans well to give young guys the rub. You know, Sandow didn't beat any of them up, but still, just being involved with them, and they kind of put him over and caring enough to beat the shit out of him, you know, put him over indirectly. And I thought it was smart to use this mix. Instead of just having the veterans on in their own segment, I thought it was smart to at least put them on the same level as some of the newer guys.
Yes, and you know that, obviously, Sandow is a guy who they think very highly of, because, you know, I know this may sound weird, but it is kind of an honor to get your ass kicked by you know...
Well, and just in that spot, I mean, the opening of this Raw 1000 and DX, you know, to come out and jaw with them, I mean, that's a big spot for him.
Yep, it is a big spot. And, of course, he jaw-jacked and ended up getting pedigreed. And then, of course, Billy Gunn got the honor. Sean didn't do the job. Could you believe that?
Mm.
And he let well, Sean probably forgot the words since he's challenged now. And he let Billy Gunn do the and you're not down with that. We got two words for you. So,
yep.
Crowd was pumped. Good start to the show. Perfect spot for these guys. Get the crowd fired up. You know, give the guys a chance in the sun. So it was a nice, good opening spot. Perfect way to start the show.
Yeah, I agree. So then we started with our opening match here, and of course, Jim Ross, Mirror Universe Jim Ross, with his goatee came out.
Yes, I know. It's like evil Spock.
To call this match. I was a little disappointed he didn't stay for the whole night. I don't see what they gained by not having him out there, but it's fine. So he does the opener here with Cole and Jerry Lawler. And another nice touch having them in tuxes and stuff. I thought that was cool. So, or at least, were they both in? Or I know Lawler was. Was Cole in a tux?
Yeah, Cole was in a tux too.
Okay,
yeah.
So nice touch there. So the opener was Sheamus, Rey Mysterio, and Sin Cara versus Alberto Del Rio, Dolph Ziggler, and Chris Jericho. Cool to see Ray and Sin Cara team up here. I was wondering if they were going to plant any seeds for maybe a potential feud for them.
I thought, you know what's funny? I thought Ray was going to turn heel.
Mm.
I thought he was going to turn heel on him, believe it or not. I was actually feeling that was going to happen.
Maybe it's a deal like Hogan and Shawn in 05, where they teamed up a couple times, and then Shawn finally turned on him. So maybe they'll team up again, kind of innocuously. You know, we won't think anything of it, and then maybe another time, and then he turns on him. Something like that, slowly.
Now,
so we'll
see. Would you turn Ray, or would you turn Sin Cara?
I think I would. My preference would be, as a fan, to turn Ray. I think it'd be interesting because he's never really been heel on the stage, and I think it'd be cool. But I think business wise, they're probably better off turning Sin Cara because I don't think he's over enough really to make things work if they turn Ray heel.
True. I agree with that. Right. I was just curious. I think it would be pretty neat to see. I don't know how Ray would be a heel, but I don't know. Be interesting.
Mm.
Yeah, you're right. I doubt that's going to happen. I think they're going to play it safe. But I do. I actually like that analogy you said about Hogan Shawn 05, where you're right. They'll do a couple of more tags and then all of a sudden.
Yeah, they want to kind of lull you into, you know, not thinking anything's coming, and then they do it. So
right. Yeah.
All right. So the match was fine. I thought it was good. It seemed like maybe they were going to plant some seeds, but they didn't. But it was good action. A lot of quick tags. It was about 7 minutes long. I thought Jericho was showcased and Ziggler. And we got Sheamus towards the end. But I thought it was really a lot of focus on Jericho and Dolph here.
Yes.
Del Rio, Rey, and Sin Cara were almost afterthoughts, I thought. Dolph turned on Jericho, punched him in the face. Sheamus pinned him and got the win. So another win for Sheamus, who's been racking him up on TV, obviously as champion. Fine match. I pegged it about 2.5. I thought it was fine for what it was. A lot of the focus, like I said, Jericho, Dolph, and Sheamus.
Yeah, and those are the guys I think right now that need to be focused on because you know, we still have some SummerSlam feuds we need to fill out. And, of course, Jericho and Dolph started last week, so they needed to you know, to continue that rub going. Of course, Dolph, they did what I knew they were going to do, which was they almost kind of pulled the WrestleMania 1 where heel turns on heel, so the heel everybody likes is left in the ring. And Jericho was kind of left there all by himself while mm-hmm. Dolph and Del Rio left as Sheamus, Sin Cara.
And things may have changed because one of the rumors I had seen was that they're going to do Jericho and Daniel Bryan at SummerSlam. But now it looks like Daniel Bryan may actually be involved with something else, and it looks like they are going to go forward with Jericho and Ziggler. So
yeah.
I think it makes sense. I think Jericho's the perfect guy to put Dolph Ziggler over. I think he's the perfect guy to help build him along, and Dolph needs that win at SummerSlam.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think Jericho and Bryan be awesome, but they could use that in the fall. They could move that along at some other point. I don't think you have to worry about that now. Dolph right now, as Money in the Bank, is very high profile. He could use some clutch wins over a very established guy. So I think this is a much needed time for this is the moment you've been waiting for.
Right.
Because no one's been beating Dolph Ziggler's drum more than you have, and this is his moment now to really. He's in the spotlight. He's got his Money in the Bank is the one that's percolating, as we'll see later on. The other one got burned, and we'll tell you why later. So this is his moment to really now shine. And Jericho is the guy to do that. So perfectly.
Yeah, he'll definitely put him over. Well, yeah. He won't just make a joke out of it. So
no, he'll definitely put him over. So
all right. So we got more of the tout pushing, which you know I think it's smart. On one hand, they bought into the company. They're gonna push it. We better just get used to it. This is gonna probably blow the Twitter stuff out of the water, honestly, since they actually have a piece of this company. And you know they're not the first company to use it. ESPN was using this on their fantasy show last year, and other outlets I've seen have been using it. So. You know, it's not like they're pushing something that's just out completely out of left field.
I have a question.
Yeah, good.
This is, of course, a technology question, so of course I don't know what I'm talking about. But do you actually need a camera for tout, or is it like part of the program, or do you actually need like a do you need a camera, or is it part of the program? It just seems like it's very easy to use, so I was just curious if you actually need a camera for it, or if it's something that's built into the program.
All right, let me ask you this, Scott.
Yes.
How can a program have a record you if there's no camera?
No, I'm saying I thought maybe it was part of the. It just seems so simple that you know, like, why not use YouTube or anything like that? Like, I thought Tout was a special program.
Oh, well, it is a program, but you need a camera.
Okay, well, I thought like there was some type of camera built into the website or something that you didn't actually.
How is that possible?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking.
But how could you have a camera not?
That's why I'm asking.
I'm going to chalk it up to the medication on that question.
It might be the Tylenol, but I don't know. It just seems like such a program everybody loves. Why I thought it was
I wish our special guest from later was on during this point because I think you'd enjoy this conversation. But go ahead.
But that's why I'm asking. See, I stuck. That's why I'm here, to stick myself out there. It's dumb as hell because I just wanted to know. I wasn't going to be like, wow, cool program to not need a camera. I at least asked and looked like an idiot instead of just. Jumping into the deep end of the pool, but any event, Tout seems to be the program, the website that they're using. That's why there's a technical department, and then there's the creative department. Stick the technical stuff with you. All right.
Stick both with me. All right. So you know, it's fine. You know, it can be a little bit lame, but whatever. They're all about fan interaction right now, and that's the direction they're headed. So if you don't like it, just get up, treat it as a commercial, I guess.
Yeah.
Because it's not going away. What did you think of Sheen being on via Skype and not being there, Charlie Sheen?
I had no problem with him the whole night. He was actually an absolute blast.
Yeah, you know what? Even if I don't care if he was faking it, if he didn't know jack shit, he was enthusiastic. He really tried, you know.
Yeah, and he didn't get anybody's names wrong. Like he didn't act like a dope or anything.
Right. Yeah.
He obviously studied what he had to do. So and obviously as the show continues, we'll see that he gets more involved. But No, I had no problem with him all night. I thought he was great. He was paying attention. I didn't think they were going to have him on at all.
Right, because Zayn talked about it in a couple weeks.
Yeah, well, he blew his Twitter account out, so it doesn't even exist anymore. And they pimped Skype because they actually had the big Skype logo on the screen.
Right.
So they're going bonkers with all these.
Yeah, a lot of social media.
Yeah, but it seems like they're – but the Twitter hashtags and stuff are still floating out there, but I think I agree with you. Tout is definitely the program to have. So,
well, plus I like, you know, they put the Twitter hashtags too on the little graphic for each match, and it, you know, if they do stuff subtly like that, I'm fine with it when they're not beating it into your head. So,
right.
There you go. So a funny legend segment backstage. Of course, we had AJ talking to Layla, and Layla was talking about how crazy AJ was. And she's like, what do you think? I'm the only one. And of course, she opens the door and we get the little parade of crazy legends. We had your boy Jim Duggan stomping around looking for Sapphire still. You should have said it. That would have been great if he said it.
I'm still looking for Sapphire Dust.
That would have been hilarious.
Oh, God, it was awesome.
Piper and R-Truth were playing with Little Jimmy. They were playing hopscotch or jump rope or something.
Jumper,
that was good.
They were jumping rope, yeah.
And Mae Young, you know, one of the greatest callbacks of all time, showed up with her teenage son, the Giant Hand. He was born on Raw about 12 years ago. So I thought that was good. You know, as stupid as that was at the time, kudos to them to bring it back and poke fun at it.
Yep, yep. And I'm telling you, dead ringer for Jeremy Nichols. It just seemed like it. Jeremy, I didn't know that your mom was Mae Young. I'm so happy. It's great. It's great that your mom's a legend, so, and a Hall of Famer. There's one thing. The first thing that irked me, though, about the show, and this is probably going to be something that continues, was that cheesy Mick Foley-ish plug for Sonic, where the stupid waitress...
That's going to continue, because that is the trend of TV. I actually read an article about that a couple weeks ago, how they're learning to get around commercials by doing more of this product integration, because, you know, a lot of people do tune out of the commercials. They fast forward with DVR, and this is a way to get your advertising money and get your product in. We've seen it on different shows over the last couple of years, and I think they're going to start doing it more. And I mean, whatever, it didn't. I mean, they got 3 hours to kill, so if a minute and a half is some girl on roller skates giving burgers, whatever.
I don't know. It just seemed cheesy. But, you know, I mean, from a television, from an industry viewpoint, I completely agree. I'm saying it as a viewer.
Yeah, right. We don't feel like dealing with it.
Cheesy, but I get it. It makes sense. It makes sense. Although USA, I feel like I'm fast-forwarding more Burn Notice.
yes.
And whatever the other fucking show is. And what's the other one? Necessary Roughness or no, whatever that other show with the one from Rescue Me. And I feel like USA does nothing but promos anyway, but and Popeye's commercials. I'm pretty sure they'll be sitting there eating butterfly shrimp next week or something. I don't know.
Well, my grandfather was alive. He blamed George Bush for all the commercials on TV. Just, you know.
What?
I don't know. All right.
So, good man.
Jack Swagger versus Brodus Clay was up next, and this was quite the squash. But before we got to the match, Brodus was dancing with Cameron and Naomi, and he brought out his brother from another mother, Dude Love. I was happy to see the Dude. I feel like we always get Cactus or Mankind or just Mick. I feel like we haven't gotten Dude in a long time.
Oh, my God. Mick, I love you, but might have wanted to dye the goatee. Wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Of course, he didn't look good. But I mean, I was just glad to see him as Dude Love.
It was different. It was a change of pace. I had no problem with it. But, wow. He didn't seem that great when he was on last time, though.
Yeah. Well, maybe he had been dying.
Like, yeah, maybe he was. Because
if you were squashed and shit on as much as he has been by Triple H and the others, you probably just gave up anyway.
I know.
So, very quick match. Clay squashes Swagger yet again. And squashes them and pins them with the splash for the win. So, and then after the match, Jude got in the ring and they all shucked and jived. And then he pulled out a tie-dye Mr. Socko, shoved it in Swagger's mouth, and that was that.
Yes.
Now, in another callback, another very good callback we had backstage,
yes.
Trish is with Triple H, showing him some yoga moves, has him bent over. And did you think Stephanie was coming in at this point?
I absolutely thought Stephanie was going to come in. Absolutely. No question about it. And it was hilarious. I mean,
it makes sense now, you know, once we saw the rest of the show, it makes sense why she didn't come in at that point, because they needed to save the pot for later. But, yeah. You know, DX walks in and they all kind of bust his chops. And then X-Pac stays around and flirts with Trish. And it's just really awkward because he's clearly high and his eyes are all fucking baked out. And he mumbles something to her and she just stares at him. So
I can't believe they kept the cameras going, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it was awkward.
It was just for sick purposes. But I can't believe they actually kept that in the show. But
all right. Then we had backstage Daniel Bryan's talking to some guys in white shirts and pants. Did you think these were like orderlies from like a psych unit or something?
Yes,
like Ward?
I exactly think they did, and I'll tell you why when we get to the end of the next segment, because I'll tell you what I was thinking.
Right. I just assumed that's where they were headed, so I was surprised when it didn't play a role. I don't know what they were meant to be. They're supposed to be like caterers or something, I guess, in the end. Or
yes.
And maybe we'll find out next week or something. Maybe they'll go back to it.
Yeah.
It was just weird. It was like, what the fuck are these guys? And it was just odd that they showed it and then never mentioned them again.
Yeah. No, it was very weird. I agree. I agree. Maybe they will mention it next week. But anyway, the reason we're discussing this is because we come to the big 9 o'clock part of the show.
Yes. Big that spot is, for this as well.
Yeah. The highly publicized AJ and Daniel Bryan wedding. And we open the segment.
And your boy was marking out.
That's right. My PIC was marking out. One of the quintessential J-faves of the era. The Slickster comes out, who is, by the way, a reverend. So
yes.
This would have been a legal wedding.
This was tremendous because it wasn't just good old Goody Two-Shoes 1993 Reverend Slick. This was old school, Dr. Style, piece of shit, prick Slick. I loved it.
Yeah.
Came out to a huge pop. You know, I loved, again, how the legends are being used here, mixed in nicely. And he was awesome. He carried this whole thing early on, really hamming it up. He was doing this for Yardbird, whatever the hell he was talking about.
Yeah, I'm doing this for Yardbirds, brother!
And you could totally tell that Daniel Bryan and AJ were marking out for Slick big time. They were trying so hard not to laugh at his nonsense as he was rambling on and on.
JR, I'm telling you right now, if I was producing this, I would do this for you, okay? Even though I made an ass out of myself not knowing what a tout is. I'm telling you right now.
It's not that you didn't know what a tout was. It's that you thought you could record yourself without a camera being a device.
The point is, if I was booking this, I would have made Akeem a witness to the wedding.
Or Slick's muscle, just standing behind him without saying a word.
Yes, without saying a word, yes. Wearing the costume. I don't care if it doesn't fit.
That would have been fantastic.
get a lot of pins or something. I don't know. But
all right,
anyway.
So Brian comes out. He's got the all-way suit on. AJ looked tremendous, as always. And I thought we almost had an uninterrupted wedding for once. And just as they're about to say I do, AJ interrupts things, stops things, says, Daniel Bryan, I was not saying I do to you. I was saying it to somebody else. And Slick's reaction here was tremendous. The selling, he does a big, like, open mouth face. He's looking up in the air and he's kind of stumbling around. Vince comes out and everyone thinks, of course, oh, shit, they're going to do Vince and AJ getting married. And then I'm thinking, no, they can't do that with Linda running for Senate.
No.
So he says, I'm not here to involve in the wedding. I am here to bring out the new GM, AJ. Big role for AJ, big letdown for everyone else who was expecting something else for the GM. I think this spot is still being held for Ric Flair. I think the seat's being kept warm. I just think that this whole TNA lawsuit fucked them up real bad, and they could not get him here in time. I'm thinking AJ is a stopgap for a few weeks to a month until Flair's here.
Yeah, if that's the reason, then I think it's fine. Because, A, it's nothing too permanent to where you can't get out of it without looking dumb. And, B, we love AJ. And this is probably, you know, this will be fun if it's temporary.
Yeah, you gotta hope she doesn't get overexposed though.
Yeah, and you don't want it to be to the point where she gets burned out and it becomes like Eugene in 2004, where you think it's where the bookers think it's ridiculously funny every week, but within like a couple of months you're like, all right, I'm done with her.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're praying that Mr. McDevitt and the rest of the WWE legal team clears this up with Dixie and Panda Energy and the greatest of all time is back in the house.
Mm-hmm.
We'll hope. I'm shooting for, I'm going to say Survivor Series. He'll be there.
Possible.
Survivor Series. That's my pick. He'll be there. So, obviously, Brian looks like a putz and starts, as usual, with the wedding sets on the Raw ring. He trashes it because there needed to be a reason to trash it. So, he just gets pissed and trashes it. Now, we were talking before about the orderlies, and I said, the reason I said that, JR, is because I thought that they were going to say...
Right.
Now, I wonder if this was going to be the original plan if Flair was coming back. Was that Brian and AJ would be married, everything would be nice, and then Brian would go, well, now, since I'm your husband, I have kind of a marital responsibility.
Yes. Yep.
I'm sending you to the loony bin.
Definitely.
And out comes the orderlies. Throw her in a freaking straitjacket and carry her out.
Yeah, I agree. 100%. Yeah. That's definitely where I thought this was going.
And then she would again get great sympathy, be off camera for a little while, and he would continue to be the most hated guy in the company. And boy, did he get a lot of FaceTime, huh?
Oh yeah, he was. I think he got the most airtime in this whole show. He got a huge push.
Yeah, good. He deserved it. Deserved it. Him and somebody else, which we'll get to right now, because we go to commercial, and when we come back, out comes for the first time tonight your WWE champion, CM Punk. Who, of course, has a big match later on in the show, but comes out and yucks it up for the fans and yucks it up to Brian's expense.
And I thought Brian was good here. A lot of fire, a lot of passion, and you could tell he was trying to make the most out of this big opportunity.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you're waiting for the line, and the line comes out, and he says, you know, I'm eventually going to be the greatest of all time, mm-hmm. and, you know, cue the music, and out comes the self-proclaimed great one, and that is, of course, The Rock.
Rock and the mom jeans.
Yeah, what was that? Lately, he's had, like, the weird jeans. And
he's
the
had
boots.
The mom jeans a lot.
Yeah, he has had the mom jeans a lot. And it took me, like,
mom jeans.
It took me like 5 minutes to figure out what the fuck was on his shirt. It's like all these words in different directions and very strange. I finally got a chance to actually read it.
Boot cut mom jeans. Boot. All right. So
boot cut mom jeans. Boot cut mom jeans. I'm sure he'd hashtag it at some point.
Oh God, hashtag mom jeans for sure. So huge pop here. Huge. Yes. I'm sorry, not a pop because I think the fans are sad, but huge announcement. Rock announces that he will be challenging the WWE champion at the Royal Rumble. Loved it. Nice long-term booking in place makes the Rumble important, and you know he's probably going to stick around. I'm guessing he's going to try and keep his schedule clear for that Rumble to WrestleMania quarter for him to be on. Nice long-term booking. Good anticipation already. Punk definitely looked like a big boy here hanging with Rock, and I thought Brian did as well. Rock was just on fire. I thought he was much better here than he was in those final weeks leading up to Mania.
I agree. I think he felt more comfortable. Mm-hmm. He wasn't the focus of the show, so
the
pressure wasn't on him to deliver. You know, and he was dealing with somebody who was actually, you know, I mean, if it was him and Punk, which it would be eventually at the end of the clip, but you know, Brian is good, but he's not Rock level. I mean, not.
Ooh, doobly-doo, I've got a perfect puzzle for you. Oompa, loompa, doobly-dee. If you are wise, you'll listen to me.
That was good.
Yeah, his Oompa Loompa song, I thought was pretty good.
Yes, it was. Hashtag Oompa Loompa. I think Rock wants to hashtag everything.
But, yes.
So anyway, he does that, and then he hits the Rock Bottom. So, and then he gets in Punk's face, and Punk, the awesome whatever he is, as we'll get to at the end of the show, says, all right, Rock, well, guess what? It'll be me that you'll be facing in January. I believe somebody said on a tout that the Royal Rumble is back in Phoenix, which is just where Money in the Bank was.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he said, you'll be facing me and you're going to lose once again because I am the best in the world. So, good promo.
Yep.
Rock held his own. I love the dynamic between those two. I almost love this dynamic more than I like the Rock Cena dynamic.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Because I think Cena almost.
The face of the WWE. Is that what you're saying? That The Rock is looking at? Is that what you're saying? 15,000 people are looking at right now? No. What we're looking at is this. We're looking at what would happen if a homeless lumberjack.
A homeless lumberjack.
Big Josh.
Big. Don't say anything about Matt Bourne like that. Anyway, the reason I'm saying that is, and we talked about this during the WrestleMania build, JR, you almost felt like Cena was trying to put himself over, and he just wasn't, at times, just wasn't doing it. But Punk loves putting himself over.
Oh, yeah.
And it's believable he's putting himself over.
Yeah, he's a douche.
He's a douche, but he's you know what? He's earned the right to be one because he is the best right now in the company.
I'll tell you what, though, Scott. You better get used to more Rock Cena because I think that's where we're getting to Mania.
Oh, for God, fucking kill me. That's right, because if there's other better matches that are going to surround it, then that's fine with me.
I think it was very clear here tonight that's what we're getting set up for. I think we're getting set up for Rock to win the title at Royal Rumble, Cena to win the Rumble, or Chamber, either one, and then get his win back at Mania. That's where I think things are going, and then Cena gets the title back. But I think Punk's going to hold it. I think he's going to hold it till the Rumble because I think we are getting Punk and Rock at the Rumble.
How are we going to get... Oh, you know, we're definitely going to get Punk and Rock. I said that to you when we were chatting on Facebook.
The only thing I can think of is maybe is if Brock beats Punk and they do Brock at the Rumble. But I think we're going to get Brock Taker at WrestleMania now. I think that's what we're going to get.
I think that match would be awesome,
yeah,
too. Anyway, we'll get to more of those characters a little bit later on. But anyway, so Rock gets his thing on Daniel Bryan and him and Punk jaw jack. So we are set for January, whatever the fuck it is, 28th or something. In Phoenix, according to a touter that I'm just going to say it all the time now, that the Royal Rumble's in Phoenix. So, okay.
Oompa Loompa Doompa Dee Dawson. Dwight is now gone, which is totally awesome. Why was he gone? He was such a nice guy. No, he was not. He was a total douche.
It's The Office.
Very good.
That one I know. That one I, because I could tell Dwight. So
you should go tout Luann and let her know you know an Office clip. Tout.
Okay, well, hopefully the camera comes up on the screen. But anyway, I'm sorry. All right. So that happens, and we get so that whole segment happens. The Rock and Punk get in each other's faces, and it looks like we are going to see them at the Rumble, which is awesome because that means Punk. Where does he stand? I mentioned to you, JR. I'll say it now because even though it's more referred later, he now surpasses Hogan 91 and Bret 94 for this reign, which is very impressive.
Yeah, for this great reign. He's had a great reign. I mean, there's no two ways about it.
And, I mean, if he goes all the way through January, who else could he possibly beat?
A lot of people. I'm sure someone can tell us.
Well, it'll be over a year, so almost all of, except for the first reign, almost all of Hogan's reigns.
He'll pass Diesel.
He'll pass Diesel. He'll pass Cena's 07.
Mm-hmm. No, Cena had it for, because Cena had it for 13 months, right?
Yeah, he had it from
September to October.
Yeah, he had it from Unforgiven 06 to right before No Mercy 07, yeah. So, anyway, next up, speaking of the Hitman.
Comes out to be the guest ring announcer for our next match. Looking a little haggard in his jorts, as always, but it's still good to see him.
Cut your hair, Brett, please.
Nice little rub for the IC title. Talks about how he had his greatest match with Kurt Hennig, Mr. Perfect. And did you think he was bringing out Joe here?
I thought so. I thought that's who was getting the title shot, to be honest with you.
Well, not even the title shot. I thought he just mentioned Kurt because he was going to bring Joe out. But instead, we get Christian defending against The Miz, as Brett tells him. Miz repush is obviously underway.
Yep.
I'm guessing it's coinciding with the Marine 3 being filmed and coming out. Yes. IC title. Only defended 66 times in Raw history. Kind of shocking.
Very shocking. I mean, that's crazy, and only 39 changes.
I think that's a lot. 39 of 66. I mean, to me, that means they only have matches when they want to change the card, change the title. But
change the title, yeah, exactly.
It seemed like it was defended every week for a while. They were in like 03 and 04, but
yeah. Well, you felt. I mean, I'm thinking. I mean, 2000 and 2001.
Right. Exactly.
Remember, like Albert, Kane, you know, Triple H and Jeff Hardy.
Well, a lot of those were SmackDown too at that time.
That's true. Well, think about 08. I mean, Jeff and Morrison or Nitro and Umaga, a lot of
crazy.
Those.
I mean, there must have been a stretch where there just weren't many, I guess.
Yeah.
So anyway, and the title was on SmackDown too for a while as well, so that probably helps.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, solid match. We missed a lot of it during the break, but you know, pretty standard. Miz picks up the win. Mm-hmm. A little surprising that they put the title on him, but then when I thought about it, not completely, because it seems like they always want to have a title change on these kind of big shows, so they have something to kind of showcase and highlight. So not too big of a surprise.
No, and maybe that means that. We kind of knew there was going to be some type of shenanigans later on in the night that there was going to be not a title change there. So,
were you excited
Miz is your new Intercontinental Champion.
Were you excited to see Regis Philbin on talking about his Raw memories?
That's another moment I thought of you again. You're always a big mark for the WrestleMania 7 celebrities.
What was with the raspy voices tonight? Sean had a raspy voice. Regis was all raspy.
Yeah, I'm hoping. Sean kind of always his goes in and out. I hope Regis isn't sick.
Yeah, he didn't sound great.
No, he didn't. I was watching it with our man Dr. G, and I said to him, I said, Regis, I hope he's not, you know, hope that's not why he, you know, retired from doing his show.
Right,
hope he doesn't have some type of throat cancer. We're thinking about you, Reach. You're one of PTB's favorite WrestleMania celebrities. So, and I like the picture of the Destroyer. And he, I was a little skittish because when he did all the guys he's had on his show, didn't mention Stone Cold.
No.
In fact, speaking of Stone Cold.
Yes, we'll talk about him later.
But
all right, so we get our 10 p.m. anchor segment.
Yes,
of course, centered around Triple H and Brock Lesnar. Paul Heyman comes out first to speak. He says Lesnar rejects the fight offer and wants no part of Triple H, does not have any interest in fighting him. And then we get the cameo as Stephanie McMahon comes out looking pretty damn good, definitely MILF territory. Yes,
she looked great. She didn't have that, she went through that. You know, when she was on camera in between, you know, pregnancies, and of course, they have three beautiful daughters, she was looking a little. I don't want to say
well,
bumpy.
She looked good in, was like 08 when Orton DDT'd her, 09, whatever that was, early 09. She looked good then, but yeah, she looked really good now.
She looked awesome. She kind of had that 2000 look again, which we hadn't seen in a while. So,
They go back and forth a little bit, and they start talking about not making things personal, and Heyman mentions their kids, and Steph gets all pissed off, and then Steph mentions Heyman's kids, and Heyman ends up getting baited into the match on behalf of Brock, so they make the match for SummerSlam official.
Stephanie then jumps Heyman, that draws out Brock, and Triple H runs him off. I think that's pretty clear, leaning to us towards Brock winning that match at SummerSlam. Hopefully, they need to have him win.
I think he will. I think he will. And I was talking to our man Johnny Reckless through Facebook, and he asked me, did you get the feeling that Brock was going to put Stephanie in the armbar?
I thought he was gonna hit the F5. Yeah, and I think the only reason they didn't was because they don't need Linda McMahon's daughter getting beat up on TV by a guy.
Yeah, right? Yeah, that's true too. But that would have been awesome. And I think you'll see it at some. You think he's on camera between now and SummerSlam? Or you think that's it now until SummerSlam?
I think he'll be on the Go Home show.
Okay.
I think he'll be on one more time.
And you can tell that he's back in shape.
Yes. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. He looked phenomenal. He did not look like the bloated guy that we saw earlier in the year. He looked tremendous here. You could tell he's definitely juicing back up. And whether it's for this or whether it's for, you know, gearing up front of the UFC run, I don't know. But he clearly is in much better shape now. So, you know, I think he needs to go drag El Creed on Triple H at SummerSlam. I think he just needs to beat the piss out of him. And I think they need to not even have pin him. I think they need to stop the match. I think that's really the route they need to go.
I think Triple H will do that. I mean, you know him. He hates being pinned. Mm-hmm. But, you know, just making it referee's decision. I think that'd be a fine idea. Brock, you need to put him over. All right, it's all about him now. From now till the Meadowlands, and you can't make him look bad at all. You already made him look bad once.
Yeah, they already fucked it up. Extreme Rules.
Can't do it again. Can't do it again. So, and I think Triple H knows that. He's not stupid. So, yeah, I think you'll see a referee's decision. That's actually not a bad idea, JR. I hadn't really thought of that, but
yeah, I think he should just bloody him, beat the crap out of him until he can't continue. I honestly think it's the way they need to go.
Well, if that match isn't last, then you know that's what'll happen,
right?
If it is last, God only.
Well, knows. I think we're getting Punk Cena again, so I think that's gonna be last. Yeah. All right, where are we? Wrestling Buddies are back. I think that's a good idea. It took long enough. I can't believe it took this long to bring them back.
Yeah, I said that to you. I said, look at that, man. Buddies are back. Your buddy's lonely. Maybe you need to get a little companion for him.
Yes.
A companion for your...
He's got five. all right. Heath Slater was out for our next segment. He's done a great job getting himself over during this last month, I thought.
Yes, yes. I agree.
A little bit of an odd choice here is Lita comes out. A nice surprise, though. She looked fantastic. Probably everyone.
She looked amazing.
Yes. CM Punk has treated her well, apparently.
Yes. All the women that were on tonight. Mm-hmm. Looked great. Even Mae Young didn't look bad.
Trish looked good. I think Lita actually looks better than her, probably for the first time ever, but yeah. In my eyes anyway. So we get a nice APA cameo. I wasn't even thinking about JBL being here because he hadn't mentioned it at all. So that was really cool to see them back out.
Awesome to see JBL back. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, they look good as the APA. And then all of Slater's foils over the last couple of months come out. We get to see them all one last time. Sid and Vader like we hoped for. Seeing Vader chase him down the ring was pretty funny.
Yes.
And then, of course, we got an awesome, sick clothesline from hell from JBL. And then Lita hits the moonsault for the win. So fun segment. Get all the legends out there one last time. Give Slater another rub. And hopefully they do something with this. Now, hopefully they keep Slater moving in the right direction. I think he's earned it.
Yeah, I think he has too. But, JR, I have to ask, is it really sad that I would like to see both Sid Vader and the New Age Outlaws back in the tag division?
I'd love to see him feuding over the titles. I think that'd be tremendous.
Good. Okay, I'm glad you agree with me. I didn't want to be the only one.
All right. So out of that piece of business, we got this piece of greatness.
Thank you, gentlemen. And may I say, it is great to be back on Raw. Now, Daniel, tonight has not been a very good one for you, has it?
Oh, you think? You know, this entire night has been tainted. AJ humiliated me, The Rock assaulted me, and now I've been insulted by Charlie Sheen. Called an Oompa Loompa by Charlie Sheen. Who is he to judge anybody? You know what? That guy needs more than anger management. He needs more than professional management. Charlie Sheen needs life management. And if Charlie Sheen were standing right where you're standing right now, I would slap the yes lock on him faster than he could say, winning.
All right, a couple things here. Of course, Charlie Sheen had appeared back on Skype and made fun of Daniel Bryan and basically challenged him to a fight next time he's in L.A., Of course, SummerSlam is in L.A., so I didn't think it would happen, but it sounds like we may be getting Charlie Sheen and Daniel Bryan at SummerSlam. I thought maybe they'd do something different where they had Sheen just in someone's corner, kind of like Mickey Rourke. So we'll see where they go with this. Of course, the man interviewing Daniel Bryan was the legendary Sean Mooney. And I was excited once again, just like I was with Slick. Mooney looked fantastic, and I wish they would bring him back. I mean, you know, they rolled the dice with Adam Lee a few years ago, and they tried all these different guys. Mooney can still go. He knows how to put the product over. He knows how to put angles over. Bring him back. He looks fantastic. He looked like Mike Brady. He looked great.
He did. He looked like he was, you know, he could interview Obama or Romney right now. He just looks so professional, so legitimate. Like, you know, this is a guy who's been through, you know, this is a guy who was in the Event Center. Guys, the Event Center, winning the Event Center. Got to get him back.
Yes, I
mean,
I agree.
There's no problem with that.
Both of them.
I don't want to hear this young people thing. He's the fucking interviewer, for God's sake.
And he still looks young. He still looks good. He's not ugly. He's a good-looking guy.
He is a good-looking guy. And
Bring him back.
You know what? He delivered that question like he's been there the whole time. So bring back Mooney.
I agree.
Easily bring back Mooney.
All right. Backstage, we have Zack Ryder with Mean Gene and John Cena, and we get another great callback. Of course, they start discussing GTV, and Zack accuses Mean Gene of being behind that. I thought that was pretty funny. I thought we were going to get a Goldust cameo, but then I remembered he's really on the shit list right now, so we did not get him there. Cena and Rock have their little face-to-face where Rock wishes Cena good luck, so a little...
Oh, by the way, one thing we did forget to mention, Fink came back.
Oh, yes, Fink came out, yep.
Fink did the Lita, the Heath Slater Lita.
Yes, yep. Good night. Good night all around for Legends. It was good to see him. I didn't feel like they didn't beat them into the ground. They used pretty much every Legend pretty well, I thought.
Yeah, they didn't, not a lot of, I mean, you know, the ones that we knew were going to be there,
right.
They didn't go crazy on, you know, Slaughter, Piper, Duggan, those guys only were there just to kind of support everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But those that we haven't seen in a while got the FaceTime. I was just so happy to see Mooney. I really was.
Yes, me too.
He fits so nice. He just fits so perfectly. Just keep him. Makes the show legit. I'll tell you something, JR. He'd be the perfect guy to kind of carry that 8 to 9 hour.
I agree. Okay. Yeah, they should have him host it.
You know, I mean, he would put it over. that would be incredible. Are you kidding me? I think the 8 to 9 hour would be the highest.
Yardbird.
Some Yardbirds, brother.
All right, so Kane comes out next. He's doing his pyro, but he's interrupted by Jinder Mahal and the Job Squad. Tyler Rex, Kurt Hawkins, Camacho, Hunico, and Drew McIntyre surround the ring. And, of course, you didn't need to be a brain surgeon to see what was coming next, and that is Undertaker came out. Him and Kane clear the ring and do their pose with the fire and pyro. So good to see Taker back. Look good. And I don't think we need to talk much more about that. So,
no. You were funny to say, though. It's odd now finally seeing Taker bald and Kane with hair.
Yes, a little reverse.
Even though his hair is fake.
Yes, kind of backwards. So more Charlie Sheen, and, of course, they tease some more about SummerSlam. And then we get our main event, John Cena versus CM Punk. Started pretty late, but they ran late. Match was fine. It felt like it was building to something better, and then it gets cut off because Big Show comes out as expected and ends up leading things to a DQ. And of course the pathos during the match is that Big Show knocks out Cena with the ref down. Punk is conflicted, doesn't know what he should do, and eventually he goes in and covers Cena, but Cena kicks out, locks in the STF, and then Big Show comes in and breaks it up. Show beats the crap out of Cena. Punk just looks on, does nothing about it. Rock comes out to make the save. Rock goes to the people's elbow, and Punk flies in Shane McMahon style, hits him with a clothesline, and then drills Rock with an awesome GTS that Rock sold like death. And Punk grabs the title and walks out, and now we have an official CM Punk heel turn. And I am wondering, Scott, do you think they're going to do something like Bret Hart in 97, where he's only a heel to those who don't want to cheer for him?
Absolutely. I was cheering for him.
Right.
I don't give a crap.
Or you think they're going to try and make it a straight heel turn, though, or do you think they're going to play that up?
I think they're going to play it up, because at this point, you can't do that kind of stuff anymore. Mm-hmm. Punk is, unless Punk, you know, Rock right now, here's the thing. And I was talking about this with our friend Johnny Reckless. Punk right now is at a level where, unless it's somebody like really, really over that you don't want to see Punk beat up, no one's going to not cheer for him simply because the guy just puts on the best match on the card. Here's a guy who's just over because he's good at what he does, you know, and even the fans cheering Triple H in 2011 didn't matter. He had, you know, right. Punk was still getting the pops. Cena, we've crossed that bridge already. Mm-hmm. More people are going to cheer for Punk anyway. Big Show, who gives two shits? Even Rock. At this point, we've seen enough Rock now. So I don't think it's a big friggin' deal, to be honest with you.
Right. Well, I think that's the route they want to go, though. I think they want to turn him heel. I think they felt like he had his run as a face, and I think they need to reignite him. I think he needs to go back on a tear. I think he needs to do the Diesel 95 thing, Shawn 96, where he says, hey, I won the title, and I forgot who I was. I forgot what got me there, and I became just another guy instead of the guy.
And they still treated me like shit. Right. Didn't put me in the main event. Yep, didn't put me at the end of the show.
That's going to be his motivation, I think.
Yeah,
I think
I'm
that's
sick and
what's
goddamn
coming out.
Tired of being taken for granted. I did it your way, and I hated it, so I'm going to go back to doing it my way, and, you know, if you don't like it, tough shit. And you know what? The fans will – 65% of the fans will still cheer him.
And I'll leave you with this, Scott. I think it's very fitting that he seems to be mirroring the last guy that I can think of that turned heel mid-WWE Championship reign. Do you remember who that was? Another guy that had a year-long reign as champion, turned heel about three-quarters of the way through.
Wow, I think how far back this goes.
Goes back a while. Think of who CM Punk often emulates in the ring.
Of course, the Macho Man Randy Savage, midway beginning of 89.
Yep. So yep, I think it's very fitting that he's kind of mirroring that with this whole little mega powers thing going on with Cena.
Oh,
so.
because even though because it's a storyline where he's turning heel, even though he's the one everybody likes.
Yes, exactly. It fits on many levels. So, all right, Scott, we got a lot of feedback to read. So let's just wrap up that review of the actual show. What did you think? Pleased? Happy?
I was thrilled. The ending left me a little perplexed. Mm. Not the heel turn. Just that match should have been better.
Yeah.
They should have started it earlier and let it go a little bit just for the entertainment purposes.
Or let it be less.
Yeah.
They kind of just did this half builds and then it just kind of ends. You know what I mean? It's like they should have just done a quick screw job and went right to the finish, or did a longer match that had more meat to it, that really built to a climax before a big show came out.
Yeah, that's what I think for a title match that was pumped for a whole week and cashing in the briefcase, I think it should have been the latter. Mm-hmm. I think it should have been a long storytelling psychology match.
I'm not sure where they could have fit it, though. They would have had to cut some stuff, but... Yeah. And there really wasn't much to cut. I mean, I think they pretty much maxed out their 3 hours. But you know what? That's not going to be a problem next week and the week after. So we'll see where they go. But overall, I enjoyed the show. I thought it was a good mix of nostalgia and newer wrestlers. I enjoyed it. The 3 hours went by pretty quick. So well done. I think they met their standard as making this a WrestleMania-like Raw. So
yeah. No, I agree. Great job. Let's just hope that we can enjoy the 3 hours. Apparently, it's going to be very formatic and we won't be bored.
Yeah, all right.
Good luck with that. There'll be a lot of touts.
Camera-less touts. All right, let's read some feedback. We'll start with Jay Hinchy. Great show tonight. The CM Punk turn was unexpected. I liked it a lot. DX reunion was all I hoped it would be. Miz wins the IC title, which I was a little surprised by. Rock was great as usual. AJ being announced as the new GM was a nice little swerve. Great to see Lita back. She still looks good. APA Brothers of Destruction reunion was awesome as well. Triple H and Brock Lesnar is official for SummerSlam. Loved the brawl. Left me wanting more. By the way, did anyone notice during the Austin McMahon Highly package that the logo was not blurred? I wonder if that means anything. And it does mean something, because there's a news story, if we don't get to later, I might as well mention it briefly now, that they did reach an agreement or come to the conclusion that they don't need to blur during clip packages and highlights or reels like that. It's just going to be during longer presentations.
Yes, and that still, the jury is still out on that, because I've been hearing that, and this has been rumored for like a year, that the World Wildlife Fund is actually going to change the name of their company.
Oh, really?
And, yeah.
Well, it sounds like they want to try and make it happen for the network anyway, try and get the rights back so they don't have to blur shit all over the network. So.
Yeah, exactly. No, I agree with that. Ryan Howard, who has no snarpy clip for me because we're going to be in last place by the end of the fucking really week matter. Anyway, so it doesn't even matter. Excellent walk down memory lane. DX reunion was a great start, and also a few little cheap shots thrown in, which I loved. Surprised Triple H didn't drop a VKM reference that's the Outlaws as a dig at them. You don't want to do that. Rock looked like the weak link on the microphone with Punk and Brian. It was pretty great to see. The wedding was awesome for one reason. Jive Soul Bro music. Slick's face after AJ said no to Brian needs to be made into a shirt. It was amazing. Miz would flounder in the main event picture, so having an IC champ is great. Mm-hmm. Lita looked good, but it was Steph who looked incredible. Cole Cabana with the tweet of the night saying JBL was wearing mom jeans.
No, Rock had mom jeans.
Hope this doesn't spell the end for the Heath Slater airtime. He's taken the ball the past month and ran with it. He's been doing great. Finally, Punk heel turn was fine but unnecessary. He's going to be a great heel, but with people will still cheer him. Is he going to be the bitter champion like Jericho was? Who knows, but I felt it was unnecessary. It means the return of Punk heel promos, so I'm happy. I was 5 when the first episode aired, and I've watched damn near every week since. Here's to another 1,000, which better damn well include another Sean Mooney cameo, which I felt was return of the night.
And Mr. Ed Harris, pretty damn good show with some nice moments. DX reunion was fun. This was seeing Brett. dug the Punk turn. It was always nice to see the Rock segment with Rock, Punk, and Brian. It was great. Makes me want to see a Brian Rock match as well. Bring on Rock, Punk. Also cool to see Sean Mooney back.
Wade Ferrari. Very entertaining three-hour show, although there was a few letdowns. The DX stuff at the beginning was fun, and it was good to see X-Pac and the New Age Outlaws. The six-man was decent, really digging the Ziggler-Jericho feud. The wedding was disappointing for me, and as I was expecting more. What was the deal with Brian talking to the four guys in the white in the back? We talked about that. I was thinking they were going to do some angle where Brian was going to have AJ committed, but nothing ever came of it. Just a red herring, I guess. Like the Triple H-Lesnar brawl, and I'm looking forward to their SummerSlam match. The blow-off to the highly entertaining Heath Slater vs. Legend storyline was kind of a letdown for me. I was hoping for Stone Cold, Rock, or Undertaker to give him a beating. We'll talk about Stone Cold in a minute, actually. Speaking of Undertaker, he must be a very forgiving man as he returned to save his brother Kane from Jinder Mahal in the Jobber Brigade, despite Kane putting him in a vegetative state less than 2 years ago. Forgot about that. Punk and Cena was a good match until the abrupt finish. Punk turning heel caught me by surprise. I kind of have mixed feelings on it, as I think they needed to shake things up a little bit. But on the other hand, he's been so good in the face role, and they're really lacking top faces right now. We've talked about that ad nauseum, too. This was definitely a show with a lot of highlights. However, the biggest highlight of them all would have to be the return of the great Sean Mooney. I'm telling you, JR, that's the guy we want back. Everybody wants it. I was disappointed, though, that we didn't get a shut-up Mooney out of Brian during the interview. Incidentally, the reason that Stone Cold was not on is that he had just had knee surgery. So it was a legit reason. It wasn't like...
Odd timing, though. Like, you think you would have known this was coming. Maybe you could have put it off, but whatever.
Yeah, I know. It's all right. I'm sure he'll be back at some point because his name is still being bantered for 29. So,
By the way, Cole did get a little Bobby Heenan tribute in there when he said, who? When they said they're going to Sean Mooney.
Yes.
J.R. Senior D'Amato, Reverend Slick is the MVP of the Legends. He had said he promised a lot of Yardbirds. Too bad they didn't play the classic Jive Soul Bro video. I don't think a video showcasing an African-American's huge lips while eating a bunch of fried chicken would help Linda McMahon's political aspirations. No, Austin was disappointing as appearing in Adam Sandler's next disaster took precedence. Damien Sandow held his own against the Legend. He has it. You're welcome.
Okay. Corey Ferreira. Great job by the WWE with the show. They really made a big deal out of this show for weeks, and it paid off for them. DX was great when I heard they were doing another DX reunion. I was not looking forward to it because Shawn and Hunter on their own is just bad now, and it sucks to say that because I love those guys. But having the Outlaws and X-Pac back made it a whole lot better. The wedding was useless in the low light of the night. AJ was the GM pissed me the fuck off. I'm over this whole fucking AJ bullshit. Now she's the GM, so more TV time to her. The Brock, Heyman, Hunter, Steph stuff was bad. The idea of having the face look so dominant over the heels is not a good way to go into a match, but hey, I marked out for seeing Steph back on Raw as she looked fucking fine. The Slater payoff was disappointing. All that build with Sid, Vader, Backlund, and DDP all for Lita to be the final legend is just a disappointment in my eyes. The main event was good with the giant swerve of Punk going heel. Who knows where this leads, but Punk is heel, which is awesome, and Cena failed his cash-in. Overall, a fun nostalgia lead show with some great throwback to the Attitude Era. Come on, who didn't love seeing Mae Young's hand all grown up, or Hunter and Trish again? Shame we didn't get another Steph walk-in. All the show needed was some Stone Cold. Guess Sandler couldn't let him leave the set of that shitty sequel to come to Raw.
Karen Polland.
The Hot Scott.
I thought this was a fun show that didn't require too much thought to be put into it. The DX reunion was entertaining, and it was surreal to see Billy Gunn and Road Dogg back in the WWE ring together, especially after the comments Gunn has made in the past. I love how WWE brought back Mae Young's son after all these years. If only Mark Henry wasn't injured. I think if he had been there, Artie Reynolds' head would have exploded. The Brian AJ wedding was okay, and I'm intrigued to see where AJ and the GM goes. Seeing Rocks interact with Punk and Brian was weird, but to see... I lost my spot here. It was weird to see, but I welcomed it, as it gives Brian a much bigger rub overall. But later on, we'll see Punk may come out of this even better. Triple H, Lesnar, Stephanie, Heyman stuff was all right. I have to give props to Heyman for getting me interested in a match I wasn't too thrilled upon seeing at first. It's now time for the huge news coming out of Raw 1000 that is CM Punk turning heel by attacking Rock. A lot of people have split upon this decision, with one half saying they hate it, while others saying they love it. I'm conflicted because I think Rock is a great heel and probably doing better than that as being a face. It's that Punk as a face wasn't really doing anything wrong. Yeah, he wasn't working main events and pay-per-views. It wasn't the main focus. That's not his fault. He's been over with the fans, both casual and hardcore. He's had a long, great reign in a time where that almost never happens and has always delivered when counted upon. He's also only been a face for about a year now, and it feels rushed to have him turn heel. Now, I've been a huge Punk fan since day one. To see him kick Rock's ass was a markout moment for me, since I never thought in a million years that would ever happen so far. So for the time being, I'm optimistic. There's a great chance Duty could screw this up like they usually do, but for now, I'll let it slide. At least it gives us a better chance of getting Punk Austin at WrestleMania. By the way, you've got to love that even after years away, Rock can still oversell a simple clothesline by going into convulsions.
True. And maybe that's why Austin needed to have the knee surgery right now. Maybe he needed the time to heal.
Possible.
If he is going to wrestle at 29. Matthew McKinney, awesome show. Loved every minute of it. Great use of the legends, especially the end against Heath Slater. Also glad to see the DX reunion that wasn't just Shawn and Triple H. As for the Punk turn, I think it was the right thing to do in order for us to get a great feud between Punk and The Rock. Like Savage against Hogan, someone has to be a heel in order to make a great feud, and Punk is the better wrestler to do it. True. Besides, he always criticized The Rock and disliked him even as a face. That is true, too. This doesn't really change his character at all. He'll still have a ton of fans cheering him on. So.
All right, Ashley Cruz. This show is much better than I expected. I expected a parade of old faces, but there's actually quite a few interesting developments. I'm on the fence regarding AJ as GM. It could work, but they also might run the risk of pushing her too much. Miz winning the IC title is a nice little surprise. Hopefully they can build him back up. I hope he stays focused out of the doghouse. WWE obviously loves him because he's very good at making public appearances for the company. Seeing DX was a nice moment, although I think X-Pac was stoned out of his mind. I wanted Kane to turn on Taker just for old time's sake as well. They seriously need to hire Show Mooney back. That'd be my favorite moment of the show. Mae Young's hand. Wonder how many younger fans had no clue what the hell that was about. Punk turning heel was the last thing I expected, but it was booked superbly, and it can flow naturally from what's been going on, i.e. not main eventing while being champion, and Roxy in a main eventing mania, for example. And honestly, the face run had become a bit stale and predictable. The in-ring work is fine, but storylines fell flat the last couple months. I'm awaiting more vicious pipe bombs going forward.
Jay Hinchy, forgot to mention of Sean Mooney being there. Too bad he couldn't have been the outside the Scott Trade Center, and Bobby Heenan's Uncle Maury pops up trying to get in. That would be very good.
And D'Amato apologizes to Stone Cold. He realized he had the knee surgery. Yep. Austin Pfaff.
Mr. Pfaff.
This is a great celebration of Raw. I was exhausted after watching it, but in a good kind of way. It was great to see Road Dogg, Billy Gunn, and X-Pac back with DX. I assumed they were going to merge the Brock storyline here, but showing off Sandow was good for him. Not much wrestling on the show either, which I did not mind. Main event was great with a great ending. I'm ready for some great CM Punk heel mic work again. One thing I don't understand is the build-up to the Royal Rumble. I mean, already? What month are we in? The wedding was great as well with a shocking twist. I think AJ will do well in the GM role. I can go on and on, but I'm sure everything else will be covered. Great show overall. Let's just hope they can keep this up every week from here on out. One last thing. I wish Dan O'Brien said, shut up Mooney to Show Mooney. Bring that guy back.
Matt Davis. I haven't heard Matt in a while. I have to discuss my absolute satisfaction with the show. I had to watch it after the fact because I had to work until 10:30, but after watching it, I have to say it was one of my favorite episodes of Raw ever. Yes, ever. It was perfectly scripted with big moments, with very little disappointment. Debauchery, head-shaking, head-scratching, or face-painting, that's all I ask for. Rosero knows I like good shows and paste nonsensical crap to the point he hates me, but this was awesome. Seeing Billy Gunn come home felt right. It was a feel-good moment, and I hope that's not the last time we see the New Age Outlaws. When Steph's music hit, I knew shit hit the fan. It's been a while since we've seen Steph on camera, and the brawl that followed between Triple H and Lesnar sold me on the match. I know they're going to give each other legitimate hell in the ring. When Miz kissed the IC title, I knew he grew up a wrestling fan. You know he appreciated the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, enough has been said already about Punk's turn, so I'll end this by saying I hope Daniel Bryan gets some Oompa Loompa chants here on out, because for some reason all I can think of is Owen Hart when D-Bry will shout, I am not an Oompa Loompa, followed by more chants. You think they'll bring back Jason Sensation to dress as an Oompa Loompa?
That would be great.
Yes, it would be. Followed by more chants. I think Danielson is the closest thing we'll ever get to Owen, not that we ever need another one. His size, his in-ring ability, his annoying but brilliant mic work, his passion for wrestling, and his success on every level of the card makes me remember Owen.
That's a good comparison. Sean Zern. I thought this was a great nostalgic show, sprinkled in with some newer guys. Opening segment with DX was great, and I like Sandow's involvement. Brian, Punk, Rock was great, and knowing that Rock gets a shot at the Royal Rumble adds a lot of interest to that situation. Punk's heel turn at the end was warranted. It gives some freshness to character, which had been a little stale. Maybe we can get more into some of the pipe bombs and less cookie-cutter stuff again. Overall, a great walk down memory lane and a very enjoyable show.
Yes. And finally, Grant Owens. I was really impressed with this episode. The DX reunion was awkward but awesome because it looked like they were all having a lot of fun with it. My favorite moment of the night was CM Punk laying out The Rock to end Raw turning heel, building him up as more of an event player. The two most hilarious moments of the night for me were Mae Young's hand and Slick as the Reverend. I especially loved it when he kept repeating, I said marriage, what? I said marriage, what?
Yeah, I love how he kept going back at it. That was good. He gave right
marriage.
Back to them.
Yes. Overall, it was a great show, and now I'm really looking forward to seeing what becomes of the SummerSlam build since I will be attending live. Mr. Owens. Wow, he gets around. I'll have to have him back on to let us know what happens post SummerSlam. So there you are. There is your Raw 1000 feedback.
Yeah, seems like everyone enjoyed it.
As always.
So.
Yeah. Everybody wants Mooney back. So, JR, you and I might start a little petition on
Mr. Mooney.
Why don't you tout it? Oh, well, you don't know if you have a camera. Anybody who has a camera.
Tout it out, baby. And if anyone does do the tout thing with WWE, please give the nation a shout out.
Oh, you better. Yes. If you're going to tout to WWE, you better mention PTB.
Tout it all out. All right, some quick news and notes here as we wait for our special guest. PW Torch tells us the rating for Raw on Monday was a WrestleMania level 3.84 for all 3 hours, with a 3.48 first hour, 3.95 second hour, 4.09 final hour. Regular 2 hours, the usual time, 9 to 11, was a 4.02. It's the first time Raw's top 4.0 in 3 years, dating back to June 22nd, 09, when they had the commercial-free episode put on by Donald Trump. Outside of the commercial-free Raw, it was the first time since April 13th, 09, 2 weeks after WrestleMania 25, that they broke a 4. And, of course, they would be pretty hot. They were pretty hot during that time in early 09. So,
yes.
Yeah. Raw averaged 6.0. Yep.
I was going to say, if anybody expects 4s after this, yeah, good luck.
I wonder if they'll have a dead cat bounce next week. We'll see.
I'm sorry, you were going to say?
Raw averaged 6.02 million viewers for all 3 hours. Standard 2 hours averaged 6.31. It was the first time an episode of Raw topped 6 million viewers since the same commercial-free. And before that was February 23rd, 09. So great numbers. I'm sure they're happy. I'm sure they're thrilled. And now the question will be, can they sustain any of it?
Well, we'll see. Okay, obviously, this coming Monday is the first regular straight-up three-hour Raw. I'm just curious to see what 8 to 9 will be. 9 to 11, I don't think it's going to be really any different. I'm just curious to see.
Yeah.
What they're going to do from 8 to 9.
We'll find out this Monday, that's for sure. All right, quick, a few other nosy notes. Original plans for Daniel Bryan and AJ Lee wedding had a ceremonies being a big scene with all superstars and divas appearing as wedding guests. Things got scaled down due to time constraints.
Yes, I'm actually going right under you, JR, on the list. So word has been received from our good friends at WrestleChat.net. Edge, the reason why Edge was not at Raw was simply because he is not under sort of any contract at the moment, and the two have had zero contact since April. That's weird.
Yeah, well, they had that dispute. He didn't like the money he was being paid and the contract he had, and yeah, it's too bad. You know, he'll be back eventually. They all come back, but it's sad that he wasn't around for this. Former duty interviewer and current ESPN sportscaster Jonathan the Coach Coachman tweeted the following regarding Monday's Raw. No offense, Kevin Kelly's not my league. Never was, never will be. This is like my children fighting the coach and Kevin Kelly. Life is a marathon, not a sprint. Actually, I really liked him. Coach tweeted, I sincerely miss being there tonight, but I can't go where I'm not invited. No hate, only love for WWE. So, I wonder why they don't want the coach to come back. They don't want him stealing any of Mooney's heat.
Exactly. I mean, we love you, coach, but you're no. You're no Mooney. Picking another one, JR, from a little bit further down the list here. Let's see. The Miz is now a Triple Crown champion after capturing the Intercontinental Championship. Of course, the Wrestle Chat page is loading forever. Okay, here we go. After capturing the IC title, he has previously held the WWE title and the tag team titles. Speaking of the Miz winning, guess who touted him for a challenge? Zack Ryder.
Yeah, we'll see.
did you know that?
Poor Zack, still at it.
Yeah, I know. Did you notice, JR, they were pimping the 7:30 YouTube pre-show, and they didn't do it.
Oh, they didn't?
No, they didn't do it.
Hmm, interesting.
Yeah. As reported, we got some other extra stuff. Mooney, the first person to appear in the premiere episode of Raw 93, resurfaced on Monday's show. Zack Ryder reacted, of course. I think everybody was happy to see.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, he was pumped up for that. Of course, they did another Be a Star rally in St. Louis earlier in the day. Mm-hmm. I tell you, we were talking about guys who are good with kids and like good in the community. I think that's another reason why they like pumping Sheamus. He's great in this.
No, he definitely is. Yeah, he definitely is.
Yeah, he's always out.
I just wish he had more of a character we could get behind, and I think he'd be great. He's so sweet. He's just not really getting much.
Yeah, he's another one who's probably better as a heel. The whole company should just be all heels. It just seems like I don't know. That's what's going on.
Mood backstage at Monday's Raw was a positive one. Many towns felt they had a WrestleMania feel. Numerous legends and current talents interacting backstage and catering during the afternoon hours, and everyone was happy and having a great time, which is great to hear as well. And then we have some news. Looks like you actually hit most of it, but there's one I wanted to point out. Ryan Shamrock was backstage, did not appear. It's kind of sad that though we'd see her. Steve Blackman is also supposed to be there. I haven't read anything about him yet at all, though, so that was kind of sad. Randy Orton. Or as Matt Rotella would call him, was Randy Orton. Carly serving a 60-day suspension for a second violation, was backstage in St. Louis, but was not able to return until the end of the month. He's expected to get a main push over on SmackDown because of the lack of depth. So, and then the final news story, We're going to talk about Charlie Sheen all but challenged Daniel Bryan to a match next time they're in Los Angeles, which is SummerSlam. Sheen took his jabs at Daniel Bryan, and Bryan basically reacted and accepted. So it'll be curious to see if they go through with this. So I'm really curious on that one.
Yeah, I am too. As a matter of fact, I think it'd be great. I think he just made me. I was just so entertained by him. Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny. I watched the. I don't know if you watched JR. I watched the Charlie Sheen Center Stage on Yes, and it was actually really good.
Yeah.
Very entertaining, and actually, deep down inside, really not a bad guy.
I agree with that. I don't think he is at all. I think he's just got some issues. You know.
Yeah, he had some demons. Don't they all? But again, I was just happy the fact he didn't sound like a dope. Monday night, he, you know, he may not know the product, and that's okay. Not everyone should have to,
right?
But at least he didn't blow it off like, oh yeah, I'm here with all you, you know.
No, he cared and he tried.
No, yeah,
he did. He put the effort in, which is good to see. So,
yeah, so.
All right. So there's your news and notes. There is your summer throwback. We hope you enjoyed it.
Yes.
Kind of a quick, clean, crisp, no caffeine review of Raw, but yeah. You know, good episode, good feedback. We appreciate it all. So,
yes.
Let us do this. Let us bring in our special guest. He should be available. And we're going to tell this tale of Scott's rough weekend before we get to our trivia match here.
Okay.
So let's do the thing. Hello.
Hey.
Mr. Flanagan.
What's going on?
How are you?
Hey.
How you doing, Scott?
How are you, Andy? Good to talk to you as always.
Are you recovered from your brutal basketball loss tonight?
I'm trying to get over it. We'll see how it goes.
Okay, yes.
How was it tonight, guys? Because, you know, the last 2 weeks, Mr. JR, you and Mr. Richer have been complaining that you were wiped out, beaten down.
We won tonight, Mr. Scott, me, Mr. Richer, and my brother-in-law. But did you know that if you travel and double dribble in the same position, it cancels out and you just keep going? Were you aware
of that? It's amazing, isn't it?
I really never knew that.
Seemed to happen quite a few times tonight, but we're not here to talk about those discretions in basketball. We are here to talk about this past Saturday's antics at my St. Mary's Day party, the 7th annual. Mr. Criscolo had kind of an up and down night. He was a little PO'd. He wasn't on my beer pong team. Of course, the Mega Powers split up. I went back to my original partner, the Brutus Beefcake of our group. Yes, they did explode. All over the beer pong table, we exploded. So, you know, the tournament went on as is. We had a good night. My brother-in-law, Ryan, and Bob won the beer pong tournament, the first inaugural.
Nearly killed Bob, I think.
Yes. We knew. Hopefully he's alive. He liked the picture on Facebook, so I think he made it.
Yeah.
He did not look good by the end of that night.
Our man, Laser Bob, yes.
So, impressed. Scott. Well, you know, let's have Andrew explain it to us. What did you see when this whole fiasco between our buddy Scott here and, of course, the man, Referee Rich, went down? And actually, you know what? Let me set the stage quick with Rich. Mild-mannered guy, probably the nicest guy, very humble, quiet. But when he drinks a lot, he can get going, and the old Rich comes out. So his wife and kid left, and he started pounding beers. He needed a night out with the boys. He got that, and by 11:30, quarter of 12, Rich was flying high. And now I turn it over to Andrew.
Well, to set it up, Rich and I were about to play Charlie, and Charlie needed a partner. So I called out to Scott, and he comes walking in through the darkness behind the floodlight. And then a beer can comes flying out of nowhere and hits him in the head. And I look over at Rich, who's smiling and laughing hysterically. And then, what was that?
I'm laughing.
Knowing Scott as I do, I realized there was going to be a confrontation at this point, so I was looking between the two of them. And Scott went over, and what kind of move were you about to put on Rich?
I just lifted
papoose
over
to go,
head.
I think.
No, it wasn't a papoose. I was probably the heel. So what was it? Beyond the Trail or whatever.
Yeah. Trail of Tears.
I had him over my head.
Yeah.
But I put him. I actually put him down, and I ended up like not falling, but I did like a roll, and I landed him on his feet, and then go ahead, continue from there.
And I think at this point, Scott was starting one kind of wrestling match, and Rich was starting another one entirely.
Well, it was like the brawl for all. Scott thought it was worked, and Rich did not.
Listen this way. I was wrestling a WWF match from 1988, and Rich was wrestling an ECW match from 1996.
Exactly. So at this point, I swear Rich leapt 10 feet directly into the air.
Yes. He dropped the heavy artillery down on Scott's shoulders.
Landed with an elbow right on Scott's midsection, from what I could tell.
That was the second blow.
Oh, that was the second one.
Yes. The first blow, he landed an elbow while I was not in the fetal position, but I was rolling on my side. I was about to get up. I was laughing. Yes. Like, oh, that was pretty funny.
He was laughing with a bowl full of jelly jiggling, and Scott was soon not no longer laughing.
Point this out.
No.
Everyone was laughing still.
Oh, yeah. I looked at you, and we shouted heavy artillery immediately. And, you know, Scott, sometimes a little bit boy who cries wolf, so we weren't sure if you were really hurt. But you were, son. You were hurt. You went cowering into the man cave, crumpled up on the couch in a heap. I came down to procure you. You came back out, still a little jaded, and then finally went to bed for the night. The next day, you were not yourself, even though I forced you into a wiffle ball game, which we won.
Yep, we did. And I hit the ball pretty hard.
Yeah, yeah, you did okay swinging one hand. You did better than Kenny with two hands.
yes, poor Kenny. I tell you, that kid gets a hold of one, though, man. He'll probably put it into the street. But it was great. You were striking him out. And then when Charlie would come up, you were throwing it over his head. You were throwing it in the pool, and you're throwing it in the bushes. And Kenny came up, and you struck him out on three pitches. It was funny. It was like when Kenny was up, you were like AJ on the Pirates. When Charlie was up, true, you were like AJ on the Yankees. Yes. It was like very, very different. But
So the next day you texted me and you tell me you're going to the doctor. So I was breathlessly awaiting this response of your text. And Scott, tell us the diagnosis from your beatdown at the hands of referee Rich.
All right. I fractured my right collarbone.
Unreal.
Actually,
unreal.
Unbelievable. 39 years and 2 months. And I broke my first bone. So, referee Rich.
And now, Rich is not a big guy. He's like, what, 5'7", 5'8"?
Maybe, 165 pounds. Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, he's pretty solid now. You know, he's not the chubby tone referee guy Rich we knew and loved growing up.
Let's put it this way, and I love you, Andy, with all of my heart. But if that was you, or if that was Kenny that was flying in the air, we would not be doing this podcast right now because I look like a bowl of fucking oatmeal right now.
he was legit like Kofi Kingston up in the air. I don't know how he did it.
I couldn't even see him. I couldn't even see
he
him.
He disappeared in the darkness.
My eyes were in the grass. I was laughing. I'm like, oh, that was pretty funny. Okay, let's play some beer pong.
Boom. and then Rich was so drunk after, he was denying it the whole time that he even hurt you. And, of course, he felt awful the next day. He called you and has offered to let you punch him in the face, which we may have to do when you all visit in September.
He actually texted me last night when you told him that I actually broke something. And I told him, I said, no, Rich, it's just careless drunkenness, but I may put him in the figure four. So I may not punch you in the face, but I might snap your tibia. So
Scott, you're quite the rebel now. You're fighting with Glenn Beck. Now you're brawling referee Rich. You end up with a busted collarbone.
I'm telling you, I just gotta tape it up just like Foley did probably in his ECW days or whatever. But all in all, though, it was a fun party and a great weekend. A lot of pictures on the Facebook page of me actually being carded. So there were some highlights. I won a few beer pong games. I was actually carded. I got to stand next to James Dudley's limousine next to the Four Horsemen. Yes. And I got to see Andy, which is always a highlight when I go to Rhode Island.
And now, Mr. Flanagan, can you tell us what the line of the night was?
Oh, let me think. Scott was on his way out of the house, and you were walking in. You stared him dead in the eyes and said, "What's up, Angry Birds?"
Because he had a puss the fucking size of Nebraska on his face.
I don't know why. I just got yelled at by the 50 friggin' women in the living room because it was
for cursing in front of
10, and there were still kids in the house. And here I am saying something, and I said "fuck," and somebody yelled at me from the living room. And I'm like, "Well, their kids still here? It was 20 after 10." And then the minute I walked out, all right, I'll swear outside. And that's when you saw me, and that's when you said the Angry Birds line, which was a good line. Yes.
All right.
It was a tremendous, tremendous St. Mary's party, as it always is.
Yeah, we had
a
great time.
Let me tell you something. You and I were grilling. We were grilling fucking machines.
I can't believe those hot dogs went. There was like six dozen, the pile of hot dogs.
Yeah, we cooked, I think, what? There were eight in a package. We cooked three.
Yeah.
24 hot dogs somehow got eaten that night.
I had no leftovers.
More later night.
No leftovers.
Let me tell you something. You know who's the MVP of the night? Your sister's grill. Because that thing was a disgusting piece of crap, what, 12 hours earlier? Yes. And Andy and I turned that thing into the fucking Batmobile. I mean, that thing was just cranking out.
It was cruising along.
Like there was no tomorrow.
Now, Mr. Flanagan, moving on to this evening earlier tonight, Scott asked me a question. Now, you're a tech guy. I want you to answer this for us. Are you familiar with the new social media thing called Tout?
Not really.
Okay, well, it's basically you basically can record like a 15-second video and you submit it to whatever entity
is
using it.
Is this something Shaq started, or am I thinking of something else?
It could have been. It was used on the ESPN fantasy show that they did last year.
It's like it's like video Twitter.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I've heard of it.
So Scott asked me if you need a camera to record this, or if the camera's built into the program.
Hey, you know what? At least I asked. I didn't just assume. Because it seemed like it was such an easy program that everybody's touting. Oh, it just pops up, and then like this little camera.
Yeah,
comes
just the camera comes out of the program. Now,
we didn't have that technology.
So, Andy, I have one more question though. I didn't want to ask JR. I was too embarrassed. Do you need a phone line for the internet?
Yes.
I'll ask Jim. I think Jim knows.
Yes.
Yeah, ask Jim.
Oh, oh boy, is that worse than the Twitter stuff? I think so. I think it's pretty bad.
Oh my god!
All right, let's take a break from all these hijinks. We're going to quickly hear from our sponsors, and then we will be back.
Because Mr. Flanagan, you're on the hot seat now.
Yeah, he is. Match number six, and Mr. LaRue is not very happy with you, Andrew, because you bailed last week, and then he lost in your spot. So.
Was I supposed to take the fall for him?
Yes, you were. So I'm hoping you win tonight so he can really be pissed.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, Scotty C., let's take a break and tell us why we're taking that break.
Because?
Yeah.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
How many pro wrestling news websites do you visit to get your daily news? 3, 4, maybe 5? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1. WrestleChat.net, the only professional wrestling news site that brings you all wrestling news all day long, and is home of the critically acclaimed Still Real to Us podcast, starring former CZW ROH and ECW announcer Eric Arjulo and the champ Jeff Peck. That's WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat, it's where it's at.
Yes, WrestleChat.net, indeed, your home for everything pro wrestling. All the news and notes you need from WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor. They have a great message board. Check out their podcast, The Champ, Jeff Beck, and his announcer. And of course, while you're perusing the site, you look to the right, you see the PTB Gnome, proudly worn by Jordan Duncan. Click on it, and you'll go to our full archive, courtesy of our good friends at Podbean. That is WrestleChat.net, indeed where it's at. Also, don't forget the history of WWE.com, our friend Grant Cawthon. Outstanding research site, ring results, DVD reviews, everything you need is there. Also, check out our show on Stitcher.com. If you have iPhone, Android, any kind of phone or any kind of player, tablet, go to it. You can listen to our shows anytime. And then, of course, also on iTunes. And, of course, check out our message board, Bigelow34.proboards.com. We're always talking wrestling, sports, anything you want. Check out JR's and my reviews. We talk Raw, SmackDown, all sorts of stuff. And don't forget to help out our friend Jay Womet. Still dealing with a lot of physical issues with his leg and a touch of skin cancer, but he's a fighter, and he's a great fan of the show. And if you want to help him, check the link on our board, bigelow34.proboards.com, and you can help him out. He's a great guy.
Hey, Place to Be Nation, this is Gary Michael Capetta, and this is the Place to Be Podcast with Scott Riscola and Justin Rosero.
And you don't want to make it mad. He's as pretty as a picture. He looks just like Little Richard. Don't be fooled by his looks.
All right, PTV Nation, we hear the game show music, and that means only one thing. It is time for another round of Place to Be Trivia Tournament action, and this is the continuation of round one. We're into match six. We've had 5 people advance. Scotty, read them down for me.
They are Derek Cornette, Grant Owens, Jason Greenhouse, Dennis Nunez, and Jeremy Nichols.
And one of these 3 men will join them in the round of 8, which hopefully will begin next week. And first, we'll bring on the man who's already been with us chatting tonight. And, of course, that is the one and only Andrew Flanagan. Welcome back.
Thank you.
All right. You ready to kick some ass, even though you've watched wrestling sporadically over the last 13
years? I'm just hoping not to embarrass myself at this point.
Well, you have a better chance than a couple other guys, I think, because you've seen a lot of pay-per-views. So if you get some pay-per-view questions, you may do okay. All right, now we also bring in our native Atlanta resident, and of course that is Jay Hinchy. Mr. Hinchy, welcome back to the Place to Be podcast.
Yo, what's going on, guys?
Not much. We are we're hanging in there, ready for some trivia. Hopefully you are too.
Yes.
I am too, guys. Bring it on.
Okay, and finally we have the man who's maybe made more appearances on the show than any other Nation member. Of course, that is the one and only True Douchebag of Michigan, and that is was Detroit Douchebag, and that is Jordan Duncan. Mr. Duncan, welcome back.
Really?
Yeah, what's you get for being late and holding the whole friggin' production up? You cried about how late you're going to be up.
Can I give you a spoiler alert real quick?
Yes.
I am conducting this tournament on the toilet.
Oh, that's a great spoiler alert.
Yeah, so.
Are you wearing the PTB Are you wearing the PTB gnome in the toilet? Is that
not right, right now, but I thought it'd be better acoustics if I was in here. So,
are you dropping a LaRue as we speak?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Really?
Yeah. Okay. You all know the rules. We've talked about it off air. And Mr. Riscolo, or as yes. Gary Michael Capetta would say, Mr. Riscola, can you please tell us the order that these gentlemen will be competing tonight?
Okay. So, of course, as everyone knows, there is a random order that you will be going. And, of course, it is like baseball where if you go bat last, you have the last chance to win. So it will go like this. Mr. Duncan, while you're on the porcelain god, you will be going first, woo, followed by the esteemed Mr. Flanagan, and then finally Mr. Hinchy in that order. So okay, we begin, Mr. Duncan. Of course, it is two easies and a medium for the first round. And the first one to get three correct at least sets themselves up for victory, depending on where you are on the list. So, Mr. Duncan, why don't you get us started and pick a number between 1 and 310.
Okay. Give me number 1.
Number 1. All right, let's see the closest number 1 is. Here we go. It is well known that Matt Bourne played the original Doink the Clown. However, it is also known that at least three other men also don the green hair and face paint. Name one of them. You have 10 seconds.
Steve Kern.
I may have a winner!
That's right.
Correct.
You are correct. JR, can you give them the other two guys?
Of course, Mr. Steve Lombardi and Phil Apollo.
Oh, I didn't know that one.
Ray Apollo.
Ray Apollo, whatever. One of the Apollo brothers.
One of the Apollo brothers, and it wasn't Creed. No. Okay, so Mr. Duncan gets a point to start. Mr. Flanagan, you are up. Picking up.
Give me 86.
86. Okay. Okay. Who kicked Ahmed Johnson in the kidney and forced him out of action in 1996? You have 10 seconds.
Was it Dan Severn?
All right.
Damn it. I fucked that all up. Hang on. No, it was Farouk. Farouk Assad.
Damn it.
Yeah, you should have known that one.
Disgrace. I know, I should have.
Severn would be for a couple more years.
Right in my okay. wheel. Still messed it up.
Yep. Whiff.
Okay. Mr. Hinchy, you're up. Pick a number.
Yes. Okay. 27.
27. All right. Who defeated Lita to force her from WWE at Survivor Series 2006? You have 10 seconds.
That would be Mickie James.
Hey, I may have a winner!
Correct, sir.
Indeed it was.
Yep.
Okay, so after one round, Duncan and Hinchy have points, and the esteemed Mr. Flanagan does not. All right, Mr. Duncan, back up to you. Pick a number.
All right. How about 23?
23, okay. On which holiday did Michael Hayes turn on Kerry Von Erich, igniting the legendary Freebirds-Von Erichs feud? You have 10 seconds.
Oh, I don't know. Christmas.
Pretty good. It's pretty, pretty, wow. Pretty, pretty good.
I had no idea about that one.
Good job. Yes. When in doubt, go with Christmas.
Yes,
that's right. It was Christmas or Thanksgiving. I knew that much. But
yep, the old school Christmas Star Wars that World Class used to have at Reunion Arena in Dallas. Okay, Mr. Flanagan, let's get on the board here. Pick a number.
147.
147. Okay. All right. Who won the pie-eating contest on the Saturday night's main event Halloween special in October 1985? You have 10 seconds.
Oh, shit.
Come on!
He's a big guy. Oh, what's his name? Shit!
I need an answer.
I can't remember. My eyes bleed. This is so embarrassing.
To do worse than Josh Richer.
Oh God! I thought that was the biggest gimme of the whole tournament.
JR, do you have the clip handy?
Oh God! No, I don't even want to play it. I'm so disgusted.
Oh, Flanagan, you're lower than D'Amato right now.
Oh, wow! I don't know about that. That's like crazy.
The correct answer. Terrible. The correct answer is JR.
Lou Albano. Fuck.
Yep. In the immortal words of Jesse the Body.
Well, that didn't surprise me a bit because Lou Albano is a big, fat, sloppy pig.
There you go, Flanagan.
Disgrace.
R.I.P. Lou.
All right, Mr. Hinchy, you're up.
Fire away, Scotty.
Pick a number.
Go with 25.
25. Oh, stick with the low numbers. Okay. All right. Which two wrestlers assaulted The Undertaker and Paul Bearer in June 1993, putting Taker out of action and stealing the urn for their manager? You have 10 seconds.
Mr. Hughes is one, and Giant Gonzalez.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Menace!
There you go.
Thank
that
you.
That is correct. All right, so it is 2-2-0. All right, Mr. Duncan, you are now in the, now that you have two correct, you are in the medium level of questions, so pick a number between 1 and 318.
316.
316. And this question is not about midgets playing basketball either.
What?
What?
In 1994, let me set up my counter clock here, hold on, okay. In 1994 ECW, Matt Bourne somewhat resurrected his Doink character under which liberating gimmick? You have 15 seconds.
I have no idea.
You got a couple seconds. Think about it.
We didn't get ECW till late 97, man. I don't know. I don't know.
How about new?
Born again.
Clip of all time.
Born again.
He was born again. He wrestled with half the makeup on his face, and I don't think he had the wig.
A lot of doink questions for Mr. Duncan. That's because you're a fucking clown.
Yes. Okay. So this is an opening. Well, first of all, let's get Mr. Flanagan in the groove here.
What does the here, middle Flanagan. W in WWF stand for?
Oh, this is so embarrassing.
What is Vince McMahon Jr.'s father's name? No, go ahead. Pick a number.
48.
48. Okay.
Oh, my God.
All right. Which former manager was hired as WCW's authority figure in 1997 to combat Eric Bischoff and the NWO? You have 10 seconds. I need an answer.
Can you repeat the question? I'm sorry.
Certainly. Which former manager was hired as WCW's authority figure in 1997 to combat Eric Bischoff and the NWO? I need an answer.
I'm going to be killing myself tomorrow. I can't remember.
To do worse than Josh Richter.
J.J. Dillon.
Thank you.
Okay. But guess what? Because of Mr. Duncan's failure to remember anything, Doink, UJ Hinchy can win the match.
Woo! Oh,
cool.
With this question.
Okay.
It is in the mediums. Pick a number.
I will go with 39.
39, okay. Who did Owen Hart defeat for his final WWF pay-per-view singles victory? You have 15 seconds.
Steve Blackman.
Scott, I don't remember. I don't think so.
No, I don't think so. The correct answer is Edge.
Oh, I knew that.
At I believe it was Breakdown 98.
Yes, he lost to Steve Blackman at Rock Bottom by countout.
That's right. Okay.
All right, Mr. Duncan, you have been spared defeat.
That's right.
Pick a number, and I'll give you another doink question.
All right. What? One through what?
310.
Oh, how about 100?
100. Okay.
What was Doink's finishing move?
His catchphrase.
Can you name all of the midgets in the Survivor Series? In October 1999, which two writers left the WWF for WCW? You have 15 seconds.
Vince Russo and Ed Ferrara.
Hey, I may have a winner!
There you go. Mr. Duncan, you are correct.
Woohoo!
It is Vince Russo and Ed Ferrara. All right. Mr. Flanagan.
Yep.
You need to get three in a row right now to force over to be part of the over.
All right.
In a row.
Making an epic comeback.
Okay, you're still in the easies.
Okay, 265.
265. Okay. Who created in storyline the Elimination Chamber? You have 10 seconds.
I don't know. I give up. This is awful.
Wow.
Now you're going to take a guess? It's an easy one.
No, I don't care. I'm so bad right now.
I know.
It's going to be my dream today.
You laughed as hard, Michael.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dennis.
It was Eric Bischoff.
Eric Bischoff.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, Mr. Itchy. You went from being on Cloud 9 to now being on the chopping block. You get this wrong, and Jordan Duncan moves on to the quarterfinals. You get it correct.
Okay.
We go to overtime. Pick a number.
All righty. I will go 98.
98. Okay. To force overtime, who was the first Royal Rumble winner to earn a WrestleMania title match as a prize but fail to win the title? You have 15 seconds.
Oh, my God. Shawn Michaels.
Gorilla, who's the guy in the white suit?
All
correct.
Right. That is correct. Shawn Michaels, of course, won the Royal Rumble in 1995 and then lost to Diesel at WrestleMania.
Hey. Didn't Lex Luger technically win in 94 and lose to Yokozuna at WrestleMania that year?
Yeah, but he didn't really win the title shot due to that. Shut up, Duncan.
Come on, just let me win. It's what the people want.
They were
Come
co-winners.
On. Overtime, Duncan. You got a shot here. We're going
just
overtime.
Just make me and Hinchy the co-winners, just like the night.
I guess on a technicality, we should have clarified the first solo Royal Rumble guy. But Shawn Michaels was the answer.
But Duncan, you didn't lose. We're
That's
in overtime.
We're looking
oh,
for.
I know, I know.
Unfortunately, Mr. Flanagan, we're making you hang up. So
no, he can hang on the line.
Obviously, you can hang around. No. But Mr. Flanagan has been eliminated. Okay, we now begin overtime. Mr. Duncan, pick a number.
50.
By the way, well, just to clarify, two more rounds of mediums, and if we are still tied, we go to the hards, and we have not had to get there yet. Come close, but not quite. All right, Mr. Duncan, your number again?
50.
50, okay.
50.
What was the first brand-specific pay-per-view? I need the title and the year. You have 15 seconds.
I'm going to guess...
Need an answer.
Backlash 2003. I don't think that's right, though.
To do worse than Josh Richer.
you're very close, though. You were very close.
It was actually Bad Blood 2003.
Bad Blood.
Yes. That would be the first. That was the first Raw-only pay-per-view. And then later on in the year, Vengeance in July would be the first SmackDown-only pay-per-view. All right.
Here we go.
The door's open for you, Mr. Hinchy. You get this right, you win. You get it wrong, we have one more round of the medium questions. Pick a number.
Okay. 61.
Okay, 61. Which two divas wrestled in the first ever women's steel cage match on the November 24th, 2003 edition of Raw? You have 15 seconds.
Lita and Victoria.
Was Victoria and Trish Stratus.
No, it wasn't. It was Lita.
Did I get
no.
it wrong?
It is Lita.
See,
didn't even give me a chance.
It would help if I had the answers in front of me.
Mr. Hinchy, there, that.
I even had your victory music queued up and everything, and I ruined it all. I'm sorry, Jay Hinchy.
Oh, it's okay, Justin. No problem.
Oh, sorry. I feel
awful.
You
know what he was just like? He was just like Steve Avery in Game 5 in 1996.
To be worse than Josh Richer, that's what I just was.
Yes,
all right. Congratulations. Jay Hinchy has moved on Boy,
I swear this whole thing was just to fuck with Jordan Duncan with between the Royal Rumble answer and now this one, making him think he had a chance to go on.
I'd like to invoke my rematch clause right now, please.
That's what you get for doing the show in the toilet. So.
And that's what you get for making up matches. Jordan. This is my ultimate payback for the Ultimate Warrior, Andre the Giant fantasy match.
Yes, the fact that Andre was dead, but he was at a house show in 1999. So.
Uh-huh.
All right.
All right, well, that's it, Mr. Hinchy. Congratulations, you have advanced to round two. Mr. Duncan, any parting words before we boot your ass back to the bedroom out of the bathroom?
Yes, I say this in good good sportsmanship. I hope you all die tonight. And,
that is awful. I think you're a man of God.
No. Congratulations, Jay.
Thank you, Jordan.
All right, Jordan. Take care.
All right, take care.
Peace
take
out.
Mr. Flanagan, any words for your second loss in the evening?
Yes, congratulations, and I hope I die tonight because I deserve it.
Oh, God.
It was a rough showing, sir.
That was not pretty.
No, no. And you know what? You had all, you know, I guess if you had some really hard ones that you would never have known, those are, the J.J. Dillon one I didn't expect you to know. The other couple, I think you could
It was really that I just really got rattled after not being able to pull Lou Albano's name out of my brain. And that was it for me. I should have just quit right there.
Shut down. So, all right. Thanks for joining us. Thank you for coming on and talking about Scott's weekend as well. That was a good time.
Thanks. Congratulations.
We'll have you on again soon.
All right. Hi, Andrew.
All right, and Mr. Jay Hinchy will be talking to you again in a couple weeks. Congratulations. I'm sorry once again for scaring you there.
Oh, no problem.
You know, and Scott was kind of silent, and then I said it, and then I was like, shit, I think I'm wrong.
I was waiting for the tomahawk chop, and then when you did the Electric Avenue by Eddie Grant, I'm like, oh, fuck, you fucked this up.
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute, come on, guys.
I almost asked you too first, Scott, before I played it, but then I'm like, no, I'm pretty sure it was Trisha Victoria, but... All right, Jay, we will hopefully get things fixed up by the next time you're on. So thank you for joining us. As always, we will be talking to you soon.
All righty. Thank you, guys.
Have a good night, buddy.
Thank you, Jay. Bye. Great job.
Bye. Oh, Scott, I am embarrassed.
Wow. All right, see?
Bungled that up.
Bungled that. That's even for me not knowing what the fuck town is. All right, excellent.
No, it's not even close. But.
Yeah, maybe you think so. But all right. We had a great show, JR. Great show.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a good time.
Good time. So Jay Hinchy joins Jeremy Nichols, Dennis Nunez, Jason Greenhouse, Grant Owens, and Derek Cornett in the quarterfinals. Six down, JR, and two to go.
Yes, we'll have one tomorrow night when we return with Royal Rumble 1997 Vintage Vaults. And then next week early, we'll have the final matchup for you all. So...
Yes.
For my partners in crime, Scott Scolo, I am Justin Rosero.
You like saying it the Capetto way, don't you?
Yeah. Mr. Riscola.
Oh, my God. Andy made me laugh so hard my collarbone's in my nose right now.
All right. For my partner in crime, Scott Criscolo, I am Justin Rosero. Take care, PTB Nation. We'll talk to you tomorrow night from San Antonio.
Sloppy pig.
What?
Coco, Levio, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. All of this to me is a mystery. I hear your motherfuckers talk about it, but I stay seeing bodies with the motherfucking chalk around it. And I'm down with the shit too. For the stupid motherfuckers wanna try to use kung fu instead of a Mac-10. He tried scrapping slugs in his back end. That's what the fuck happens when you sleep on the street. Little motherfuckers with heat wanna leave a nigga 6 feet deep. And we come into the waist to make sure the crying and commotion ain't a motherfucking fake. Back in the days, our parents used to take care of us. Look at them now, they even fucking scared of us. Calling the city for help because they can't maintain. Damn, shit done changed. In the rap game, I probably have a key knee deep in the crack game, because the streets is a short stop. Either you're slinging crack rock or you got a wicked jump shot. Shit, it's hard being young from the slums, eating 5 cent gums, not knowing where your meal's coming from. And now the shit's getting crazier and major. Kids younger than me, they got the sky grand pages. Going out of town, blowing up. 6 months later, all the dead bodies showing up. It made me want to grab the 9 and the shotty, but I gotta go identify the body. Damn, what happened to the summertime cookout? Every time I turn around, a nigga getting took out. Shit, my mama got cancer in her breast. Don't ask me why I'm motherfucking stressed. Things done changed.